Okay, welcome to the Shir Marav Gurari Parshas Re'eh. Wanted to take a look at two Gurariyas this week, specifically with regard to Pesach. It's not Pesach time, but we know the end of Parshas Re'eh speaks about the Shlosh Regalim, the three pilgrimage festivals, along with the Pesach, and the two points that the Gurariya makes, which are Pesach related, so we'll learn them now and we'll store them away, you know, for next Pesach. They will become homestick, hopefully, and, you know, this way we'll have them in our back pocket, so to speak. So, first we start with the Pasuk, Perek Hezayin, Pasuk Gimel. The Torah tells us, Sochal alav chametz, you should not eat chametz in conjunction with the Karban Pesach. Indeed, Shivat Yomim, Sochal alav nachos lechem oni, for 7 days, you should eat matzos. Either chipozon your sasa me'eretz Mitzrayim, because you left the land of Egypt in haste, and you should remember this all the days of your life. On the words either chipozon your sasa, you left Mitzrayim in haste, Rashi writes in words that are very reminiscent of the Haggadah, which we say every year. Lohistik bosek lahachamis, they left in such a hurry that the dough did not have time to rise. And it's important that you should remember this fact, that the dough didn't have time to rise. That's the degree to which you were in a hurry leaving Mitzrayim. The chipazon, as Rashi, this haste, lo shel chahaya. It was not that the Jews were in haste. Well, the Jews really, you know, they were anxious to get out of Egypt, but they could have waited a little bit. They could have packed a little bit more thoroughly. They could have dressed a little bit more sharply, maybe on the way out of Egypt. It wasn't that the Jews were rushing, El Shel Mitzrayim. It was the Egyptians who were rushing the Jews to get out of Egypt. She came to Omer, as the Pesach says back in Bo, Vatechazak Mitzrayim al Ha'am. The Egyptians weighed heavily upon the people, as the Pesach continues, L'maher l'shalchom in Ha'aretz, to speedily eject them from the land. Right? We find in Chumash that the Lashon that's used in terms of discussing how the Egyptians freed the Jews is that kigarshu mimitzrayim, you know, the Jews were driven out, they were thrown out of Egypt, again implying that it was the Egyptians who really had a vested interest in getting them out at that point in a very, very rapid fashion. Okay, so again, this is Rashi that speaks to concepts we're all familiar with. On this Rashi, the Gurari comments a basic question. The Intoma, if you ask me the following, Halo af kodem shiyasum in Mitzrayim, sivolem HaKadosh Baruch Hu le'chol matzah. How can it be that matzah reminds us of the fact that we left Egypt in haste? The mitzvah to eat matzah was given to the Jewish people while they were still in Egypt, even before they had left. They were told when they made that first Seder on that first Pesach night in Mitzrayim to eat matzah. So how can you tell that? How can you say that the point of the matzah is to remind them of an event that at that point when they were first eating matzah had not yet taken place? It seems a little strange. The Ramban answers the question as follows. The Ribbono Shel Olam knew that the Jewish people would leave Mitzrayim the following day in haste. He knew that the dough would not have time to rise, so he gave them the mitzvah of matzah in anticipation. Right? The mitzvah of the matzah was given to them to eat in anticipation of what would be a historical event that the dough would not have time to rise. And I said it by Hartman in his notes, so the Gur Aryeh points out that we don't have this Ramban that the Gur Aryeh refers to. As Maral says, yeah, the Ramban asks and answers the Pasha. In our Ramban, we don't have it. You know, so what source of the Ramban he's quoting is not totally clear, but he attributes this to a Ramban. That answer itself, whoever said it, the Ramban, the Maral, whatever it happens to be, is itself a little bit difficult to understand. I mean, again, granted from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's perspective, God knows the future. So he can certainly give us a mitzvah, you know, that's tied to a historical event that hasn't yet happened.
it's possible for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to do that. You know, it's not beyond the ability of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to do that, certainly.
There's something that's just a little bit unsettling or strange about giving a mitzvah based on an event that hasn't yet happened. It's not a terrible kasha. But to add to that, the Maharal asks the following. The Nira Lomar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Rosa Dav Kolotzi of the Inyan Zeh. I think implicit, you know, in the next words the Maharal is going to say is the following question. It's true that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can give a mitzvah, you know, based on an event that hasn't yet happened, but why would he want to? What would be the gain in doing that? And to apply to this case, why is it so important to stress that the Jews left the chippazon in haste, that the Jews were given a mitzvah to commemorate that fact even before the actual haste came about? Well, what's important about that? Especially about now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu very much wanted to ensure from the get-go that the Jews wouldn't have time for their dough to rise. I think when we read the story, we think of that fact as kind of incidental. You know, they were really in a rush, and oh boy, you know, they didn't even have time for the dough to rise. You know, had they just moved maybe even a little bit faster, had they just moved a little bit slower, you know, so maybe the dough would have had time to rise, right? But it happened to be that they moved so fast, the dough didn't even have time to rise. That's not all. No, that's not just an incidental fact. HaKadosh Baruch Hu very much wanted that the dough shouldn't have time to rise. That's a very important and integral fact of the whole Yetzias Mitzrayim. Why so? The Haros, Shehu Yisbarach Hotziyam V'yod Chazaka, V'lo Yomu Yisrael Me'asmenu Yotzamu. That fact that the dough didn't have time to rise was important to underscore the point that God, in a sense, dragged the Jews out of Egypt. He took them out beyond Chazaka with a strong hand, not just initially against the will of the Egyptians, but to some extent, the Jews themselves were not ready to go at that pace. And it should never be that the Jews would ever say, we left totally of our own accord. Chazaka Baruch Hu, in the very end, had to pull hard for the Jews to come out of Egypt. Avol kasha yiru ki paro melch Mitzrayim shahoyim imaher l'shalchom kodesh shachmitzu yisofam. When the Jews would see that Paro was so insistent upon sending them out, and that the dough didn't even have time to rise, avol gav she'im to the rachon shalahem, even though the Jews themselves would have taken a little bit longer. What's the rush? What's the rush? Okay, we'll pack a little bit. You know, we'll put ourselves together a little bit. Hames the Rav Yeshua Shechazko Yad Hashem Aleihem Uviyadu HaChazaka Hotziyam. It's indicative of the fact that God in His strong hand pulled the Jews out of Egypt. The Omali Hayesu Yisosu Chamutza, had the dough had time to rise, Chayamu Hayaniko Yad Hashem HaChazaka, it would not be as readily apparent that God forced them out of Egypt. So if I here and saw them, you saw how you yotzer. Because certainly the Jews wanted to leave. I mean, it's not as if the Jews wanted to stay. You know, the one-fifth of the Jewish people who were left at that time, they certainly wanted to leave. But just they wanted to leave in a little bit of a more leisurely fashion. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was insistent that they leave at that time, even though the pace was a little bit faster than they really would have wanted. Right? So how would you show that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was forcing them out faster than they really wanted to? Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu planned things from the get-go that the dough would not have time to rise. So in other words, to the question, why already the night before are they having matzah in anticipation of the fact that the dough won't have time to rise? I mean, if the Jews would have asked Moshe Rabbeinu, why are we having matzah? And Moshe Rabbeinu would have said, well, tomorrow you're going to go out with such haste that your dough won't have time to rise. The Jews could have turned to Moshe Rabbeinu and said, how do you know? Right? I mean, okay, because you're both called me. But, you know, why are we so fixated on that point? Because that point is not just incidental, that's a fundamental aspect of the Yetzias Mitzrayim to drive this idea home to the Jewish people. And therefore, this element of matzah, you know, representing the haste in which they left, was given to the Jewish people even before the actual Exodus itself had taken place. Why was it so important to stress that the Jews left even before they were really ready to leave? Why is that such an important point? According to the Maharal, that the very essence of Masa expresses that idea. So here let me suggest the following. This is already not the Maharal, this is me, so if you don't like it, so do with it what you will. But we know there are really two dimensions, you know, to the Exodus from Egypt. You know, on the most basic of levels, the Yetzias Mitzrayim was a physical exodus. The Jews were enslaved. It wasn't fun for them to be in Mitzrayim. It wasn't comfortable for them to be in Mitzrayim. You know, so, you know, leaving Mitzrayim alleviated that physical servitude which they had. Certainly the Jews, from their perspective, were anxious to get out and leave that physical servitude behind. But once Paro had already said, you're free to go, the question of whether they lingered a little bit longer was less significant in terms of their physical bondage. Remember, they had already been freed from the bondage of doing slave labor for numerous months already at that point. Had about a half a year into the Makos, in other words, a half a year before Yetzias Mitzrayim, Paro already told the Jews, you don't have to do slave labor anymore. So in other words, if they would have waited another hour, another 5 hours, while they put their stuff together, you know, they packed all that gold and silver they had taken from the Egyptians into nice boxes and labeled everything so that they'd be able to find it when they got out of, you know, when they got out of Mitzrayim, you know, that wouldn't have bothered the Jewish people to take a little bit of extra time. That's if you're just looking at Yetzias Mitzrayim in terms of freedom from physical slavery. But we know that that's not all that Yetzias Mitzrayim was all about. Yetzias Mitzrayim was also the Jewish people being freed from the spiritual slavery which they experienced in Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim was the Mekar HaTumah. It was the source of everything that was impure and immoral and unethical in the world. And we know that the Jews, just being in Mitzrayim, the longer they were there, the longer they were sunk into the tumah, into the filth, the spiritual filth that Mitzrayim represented. So, you know, from the Jews' perspective, maybe that wasn't the main aspect of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Maybe it was more about, yay, we're not slaves anymore. But from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's perspective, Yetzias Mitzrayim was primarily about that second aspect, about ensuring that the Jews wouldn't be in this spiritually depraved place any longer than they absolutely had to be. So from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's perspective, it was imperative that they get out as soon as they can from that perspective. So even though the Jews said, look, you know, we're not in a rush because the physical slavery is over, give us another 2 hours to pack, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, no, I've determined that spiritually the time that you need to leave is right now. And if spiritually the time you need to leave is right now, I'm going to ensure that you get out of here so fast that your dough doesn't even have time to rise, which frankly is inconvenient from your perspective. So the dough not having time to rise is of one piece with recognizing that Yetzias Mitzrayim is not only about a physical exodus, but it's about, you know, a spiritual exodus, maybe even primarily about a spiritual exodus. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says it's time to leave Mitzrayim. It's time to leave Mitzrayim, ready or not. You know, even if you, from your perspective, would want to take another couple of hours, sorry, you know, the time is now, and now from a spiritual perspective is when you have to leave. Let the Jews never think that this is primarily about the physical, you know, emancipation from slavery. If it was about that, so Klal Yisrael would say, we left when we were ready to leave, right? When we newly emancipated slaves felt that we now had the upper hand. That would not be consistent with the idea of matzah. Matzah means, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in control. He doesn't allow the dough enough time to rise. And that fact, again, is not just a cute incidental fact that reminds us of the fact that the Jews left Mitzrayim hastily. That goes to the essence of what Yetzias Mitzrayim is all about, the focus on the spiritual exodus as opposed to the focus on the physical exodus, right? So that point is so important that even the night before, had the Jews asked Moshe Rabbeinu, why are we eating matzah? Moshe Rabbeinu would have said, because tomorrow you're going to get out of here so quickly that the dough won't have time to rise. That was a meaningful statement even before it actually happened, because it had to happen that way. It's not just that it happened to happen that way. It had to happen that way. It was preordained. And in an essential way, that it had to happen that way, that the dough would not have time to rise, such that even the night before it actually happened, explaining that to the Jewish people would have made sense. I don't know if they asked the question, but had the Jewish people asked the question, even the night before, the answer that would have been given to them would have been a cogent answer, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants the dough not to rise tomorrow when you actually leave the site. Right, so that's one point which the Maharal speaks about. He writes that in his Sefer, Gvuras Hashem, which is the Maharal Sefer and the Haggadah Shel Pesach and the Inyanei Pesach in general, he elaborates a little bit more of this on length, but here we have the nugget of this basic idea. Let's just start another piece of the Maharal, and then we'll pick up with this following Meir. So a little bit later on in that same parasha, we're told, Torek Tazayin, Pasuk Ches, Sheshes Yomim Tochal Matzos, for 6 days you should eat matzah, Uvayom Ashvi Aseres Lashem Elokecha Losasa Melacha. Now the seventh day is a day of assembly for Hashem, you should not do any work. If you read the Pasuk simply, it sounds like for the first 6 days of Pesach, you eat matzah. For the last day of Pesach, it's a Yom Tov, and the prohibition against eating chametz is suspended. That's if you read the pasuk without any background knowledge, that's what you might say. Clearly we know that that's not true, right? There's not an oblique reference to gebrochs or anything like that, being mutter on the last day of Pesach. That's not what we're talking about over here. So, the obvious question is, why would the Torah speak about not eating chametz or eating matzah for 6 days? And that's a highly misleading statement. So, Rashi over here in Pasuk Ches says, Sheshes Yom Tochal Matzos, V'makom Acher Hu Omer Shivas Yomim. In Pashas Bo, the Torah says you're supposed to eat matzah, i.e. not eat chametz, for 7 days. So what's 6 days? So Rashi brings Shiva min hayosham, Shisha min hachadosh. For 7 days, you're allowed to eat matzah from the old grain, but only for 6 days of Pesach can you eat matzah from the new grain. Again, tying into what we're learning about in the Masechta Rosh Hashanah, not so long ago. It's only during the second day of Pesach when the Korban HaOmer is brought, that matzah made from the new grain is allowed to be consumed from the chadash. So for the first day of Pesach, you can only have matzah from Yosham, right? But for the last 6 days of Pesach, not the first 6 days of Pesach, but for the last 6 days of Pesach, you're allowed to consume matzah that comes from the chadash, that comes from the new grain. Rashi then goes on to bring a second interpretation. We're not going to talk about that for our purposes. We're going to focus on this first interpretation that Rashi has. If the Maharal on this Rashi, the Inchama, my nafka mina, shekotsu batara shiva min ayosham, v'shisha min achadosh. Why was this so important for the Torah to say? Granted, Sheshes Yomim Tochal Matzos means that you can only have matzos from Chodosh for the last 6 days of Pesach. But I could have figured that out on my own anyway. I mean, the Torah in Vayikra says that I could only have Chodosh starting on the second day of Pesach when the Korban HaOmer is brought. So if I just think it through, obviously the matzos that I have, that are Chodosh, can only be consumed from the second day of Pesach after the bringing of the Korban HaOmer and on.
why does the Torah have to make a point of saying this when it's obvious if you just put the various pieces in the Torah together? Answers the Maral, and we'll present the Maral's answer, don't have to talk about it after Maris. The Eshalomar, maybe one can say as follows. She'ein achilas matzah docha asei d'chodosh. She'ein eilo le'chokim chodosh, eilo le'chol matzah. Says the Maral, perhaps Rashi is addressing the following question. It's the first night of Pesach. I have a mitzvah d'araisa to have a kazayis of matzah. The only matzah I have available to me is made from chadash, it's made from the new grain, which is only going to be permissible from the second day of Pesach and on. So what's better? For me to eat the chadash and thus fulfill the mitzvah asay of eating matzah on the first night of Pesach, or for me to set aside, to not fulfill the mitzvah asay of eating matzah the first night of Pesach, but to fulfill the love, the losa asay, the negative commandment, of not eating chadash, you know, before the second day of Pesach? Which has more power, the asay of matzah or the losa asay of chadash? Says the Maral, perhaps what Rashi is saying is that sheshes yomim tochal matzos means you can only eat chadash from the second day and on, even if that means it's going to come at the expense of the mitzvah of having a kazayis of matzah the first night of Pesach. In other words, the losa asay of chadash knocks out the mitzvah asay of having a kazayis matzah the first night of Pesach. Now that already is not obvious, right? The fact that all things being equal, you can only have chadash from the second day and on, okay, that maybe is obvious. But the notion that if not all things are equal, if the only matzah you have on the first night of Pesach is chadash, you still can't use it to fulfill the mitzvah of matzah, and thereby you'll be mevatel the mitzvah saseh of matzah, that's not obvious at all. When we pick up after Ma'ariv, we'll go through a little bit of the reasoning of the Maral, and then we'll see that this is a major debate in Rishonim and Achronim on precisely this issue, which the Maral identifies as being ultimately a Rashi of Chumash. We'll pick up with that following my request of Hashem and Rishonim. Okay, welcome to the second part of the Maral Gurariyeh in Parashas Re'eh. We had started the Maral's comments on Rashi, Perek, Tezayin, Pasuk Ches, where Rashi makes the point of saying, how do you reconcile the pasuk in our parasha that says that you should eat matzah for 6 days versus the pasuk in Parashas Bo that says you should eat matzah for 7 days? So Rashi says, no problem, for 7 days you can eat matzah from the old grain, from the yoshon, but it's only for the last 6 days of Pesach, starting with the bringing of the Karban HaOmer, that one is allowed to have matzah from the yosh, from the chadash, from the new grain. Right? The yoshon is for all 7 days, but the chadash is only for the last 6 days. After Maral, well, that's kind of obvious. In other words, once we know that there's halacha, and you can only eat the chadash after the second day of Pesach, so why should that be any different when it comes to the matzah? Why is that worth saying? So the Maral suggests that what Rashi means is as follows. Even on the first night of Pesach, for this Mr. Daraisa to have a kazayis of matzah, if the only kazayis of matzah available is the kazayis of matzah that's made from chadash flour, from the new flour, it's better to forego the mitzvah of achilas matzah rather than eat from the chadash flour. So, continuing on that idea, the Gurari makes the following statement. He says, "Afal gav the matzah asay be'erev tochu matzos, the chadash lo sasay." Right? Since even though the mitzvah of eating matzah on the first night of Pesach is the mitzvah of sasay, it's a positive mitzvah, and the mitzvah of refraining from chadash is a lo sasay negative mitzvah, and we normally say asay docha lo sasay, that an asay and a lo sasay, when they conflict, the asay wins and pushes off the lo sasay. So why shouldn't we say that over here, says the Maral? No. Came on to Esther the Yosan. Ein achilas matzah docha lo sasay. How for gav the ein lo matzah min hayosan. The law amrinam, the osa asay v'docha lo sasay ki agavna,
Raki e Esther Elamud calls Halaf. Aval, the Makar Shashua Kayam Shem, Larmin and Hoff. Says the Maral, the principle of Asay Losas, Zocha Losas, say only applies when somehow on a fundamental level there's a conflict between the Asay and the Losas say. In other words, there's no way to fulfill the mitzvah say without somehow violating a Losas say. Now it's true, in this particular case, the circumstances are such that the person only has Rasa that comes from Chodesh, from new grain. So for this person, the only way he can fulfill the Asay is to violate the Losas say, but that's not the case in which Asay Docha Losas say applies. Asay Docha Losas say applies only when, in all cases, fundamentally, there's a conflict between the Asay and the Losas say. There's no fundamental conflict between Matzah and the Iftar of Chodosh. It just happens because of this particular person's circumstances, there is a conflict. But in general, you know, there's no reason why the mitzvah of Matzah fundamentally is at odds with the prohibition against eating Chodosh. What's that? So let's say that Kilayim B'tzitzis. Right? In other words, you have a baguette which is made up of kilayim. You have a baguette which is linen, right? And we don't see that the Torah prohibits us from wearing a linen garment. So the Torah says you have to put on tzitzis. The tzitzis have to be made out of wool. They have to have at least the woolen string to have the chalas. So on a fundamental level, the Torah is saying these two ideas, the asay and the losas, they are in conflict with one another. Right? The Torah doesn't say don't wear linen garments, right? So the Torah clearly wants us to wear linen garments, and the Torah, you know, only allows us to make the tchelas out of tzemer, out of wool, so it must be that the Torah is setting up a situation with the asay zelka belos asay. But here, it's only because of your unique circumstances that you experience the conflict between these two things, so that's not really asay zelka belos asay. Yeah, but there is, so let's say on the first night. On the first night, he only has matzah of chodesh. Right? So in other words, if he doesn't eat the matzah of chodesh, he's not going to be mechayim the mitzvah. That's the Maral's answer to why I say tokolos, I say doesn't apply. The same kosu atosus, terakama the kiddushim, b'shila yisham, is ena seishu atilas matzah. So Kolosas Seishal Isser Kodosh, Kolosas in the first parak of Kiddushin, brings a source from Yerushalmi that also says explicitly that we would not say Asay Do Kolosas say to allow one to eat Masas from Kodosh on the first night of Yom Tov. Rash Shemosu Tamacher. The Kolosas, however, give a different explanation as to why the Yerushalmi says we don't say Asay Do Kolosas say. The Kolosas actually gives two explanations. And they're both very interesting explanations. First of all, Tosu suggests that an assay before Matan Torah doesn't push aside a Los assay after Matan Torah. The assay of eating Matzah predates Matan Torah. It was given to the Jews while they were still in Mitzrayim. The Los assay of not eating Chodosh was given to the Jewish people after Matan Torah. Somehow, it would seem that Tosus understands that a mitzvah that was given at Har Sinai, not the mitzvahs that were given pre-Har Sinai, but a mitzvah given at Har Sinai has a higher status, a stronger status, than a mitzvah that was given prior to Matan Torah. So there's a lot of talk about that over there, because the truth is, you could argue that the opposite is the case. I mean, clearly all of the mitzvahs, you know, that were given pre-Matan Torah were then repeated at Matan Torah. So maybe the fact that it was so important to have been given even before the Torah was given, maybe that gives it a higher status. Right? So it's interesting to think about that, but Tosfos clearly understands not. Tosfos understands that a mitzvah that was given pre-Matan Torah is of a lower status. And then Tosfos suggests that maybe we would say Asay Do Chalos Asay, but here there's a gzeiro. There's a concern on a rabbinic level. What's the concern? So you have a matzah, the whole matzah is chodosh. How much do you have to eat in order to fulfill the mitzvah of achilas matzah? Kazayis. The guy eats the kazayis. Okay, we say Asay Do Chalos Asay. But that's all he has to eat. He says, you know, maybe you'll have another kazayis.
Right? Rebbe is a machmir, you know, he wants to be yotzei all the shittus with, you know, multiple kazaitim and all of that. So for the first kazayis, you can say, I say, don't chalosa, I say. For the second kazayis, not so possible, you can say, I say, don't chalosa, I say. Right? So he wouldn't allow even the first kazayis, lest you come to eat the second kazayis. That's also the second answer. Right? So Tosis, it's of the opinion that we don't say asei dochalos asei, and you forego the mitzvah of eating matzah. And according to the Maral, that's the position that Rashi is articulating in the commentary on the Chumash as well. This idea is also echoed by the Rambam. The Rambam also says that the only matzah you're allowed to eat on the night of Pesach is matzah which you'd be able to make a bracha over. Right? We know that in general, any matzah, if a person, for whatever reason, decides to eat something which is trace, you know, so he does not recite a bracha, you know, over that trace item, according to the Rambam. So the Rambam's position is that anything which is macholos asuros, anything which you're not allowed to eat, you're not allowed to use for matzah, period. Not all Rishonim agree. The Or Zoruah, is one of the Bali Atosus, holds that we do say, Afsei Docha Lo Sasei, when it comes to matzah from Chagosh. Now, the truth is, there's a Mishnah that says that you're not allowed to have matzah from Tevel and Truma, you know, all kinds of macholos asuros, but in an essay that he has on this topic, the Shagas Aryeh writes that you can't necessarily compare the examples in that Mishnah to the example of eating matzah from Chodosh. Says the Shagas Aryeh, maybe we don't say asei docha lo sa'asei, when the losa assay involves either a chi of kares or a chi of miso videi shalayim. If a person eats tevel or truma, so the punishments for those things are heavenly death. You know, they're pretty severe. The punishment for eating chadosh is the violation of a losa assay. Not that that's not an insignificant thing, but it's not kares, it's not miso videi shalayim. The Shagatari suggests that although the Mishnah says that you can't eat matzah from Tevel or from Truma, if you're not a Kohen, but you know, that doesn't necessarily mean that you can't eat matzah from Chadosh. And in fact, the Shagatari goes on to argue that in his opinion, if all you had was a matzah made out of Chadosh on the night of the Seder, so you wouldn't be Mekayim the Mitzvah from the Chadosh. There's just to round out this discussion a little bit, Rameir Simcha, the Yoros HaMeach, you know, in his comments on the Rambam, rejects the idea that we say, Asei Docha Lo Sasei. In other words, he's with Rashi, Tosfos, and the Rambam. And the Yoros HaMeach suggests the following as to why Asei Docha Lo Sasei would not be relevant over here. Says the Yoros HaMeach, Asei Docha Lo Sasei only applies when the losa assay is an instrument to enable me to fulfill the assay. For if the very item itself, which enables me to fulfill the assay, is also oster because of a losa assay, so there the concept of assay dosa losa assay would not apply. It seems what the Rishonim is saying is something akin to the classic hakira. You know, the difference between an Isser Gavra and an Isser Chesra. In other words, an Isser, you know, to do something versus something which, you know, the very object itself is considered to be prohibited. So, whereas, you know, an Isser Gavra can be set aside in order to fulfill an Asseh, but an Isser Chesra, if the item itself is treif, to take that treif for item to fulfill a mitzvah, something like Shonech on a fundamental level can't be Asei Docha Lo Sasei. You can't say that this very item, which is not kosher, could be used in the fulfillment of a mitzvah. You could tell me that I could, you know, be allowed to perform an Isser in order to, you know, to fulfill a mitzvah. But to say that an item is simultaneously trait and also the vehicle fulfilling a mitzvah, that the Shonech says can't work, that can't be Asei Docha Lo Sasei. And therefore, he says, that's the sheet of the Rambam, that Chadosh, that Masah that's from the Chadosh, from the new grain, would be inadmissible for use on Masah on the first night of Pesach. It gives her a big machlokas between Rishonim and Achronim. And the Maral, again, very, very interestingly, says all of this really just goes back to a simple Rashi and Chumash. a Rashi and a Chumash that you wouldn't necessarily have read as weighing in this very complicated machlokas. But in the end of the day, says the Maharal, all of this is really on Shasrat in Rashi and Chumash if we just know how to read Rashi carefully. That's, I think, besides the point, besides the, you know, the substance of the machlokas, this is a tremendous lesson. Just, you know, we shouldn't sometimes have a tendency to be almost overly dismissive of Rashi. You know, it's simplistic, it's simple, you know, and we don't realize how much is, you know, is buried, you know, in Rashi if we just scratch the surface a little bit. Okay, we'll pick up next week, Be'ezus Hashem, and wish everybody a good chance.